Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, celebrating our fifth year on Blog Talk Radio. It just seems like time flies these days, doesn't it? Anyway, I wanted to let you know that we do have a website, propheticnews.com. We have a YouTube channel. If you go there, you can see some of my videos. Susan Puzio is the name of the channel, so that's available for you. And I'm still learning how to make videos, so it's more important the content of the videos. So maybe there's somebody out there that would like to help me. If you are an expert in video making, videography, it would be great if you contact me, susan@propheticnews.com. I can use the help. And anyway, today our topic, as you know, there's a new book that's been released, and it's called First Fruits Fleecer. Now, what is a fleecer? Very interesting. Paula Michelle White, documenting how prosperity she-wolf. Paula Michelle White sets out to fleece Christians right down to the bone by means of her first fruits offering scam and what to do about it. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and I'll be bringing my guest on in a moment. I just wanted to read something to you on page 230 of this book. This comes from Thomas Brooks, a Puritan preacher who penned these words to warn self-seekers like Paula White, that self-seekers are self-losers and self-destroyers. Absalom and Judas seek themselves and hang themselves. Saul seeks himself and kills himself. Ahab seeks himself and loses himself, his crown and kingdom. Pharaoh seeks himself and overthrows himself and his mighty army in the Red Sea. Cain sought himself and slew two at once, his brother and his own soul. Gehazi sought change of raiment, but God changed his raiment into a leprous skin. Haman sought himself and lost himself. He hung on his own gallows. The princes and presidents sought themselves in the ruin of Daniel, but ruined themselves, their wives and children. That which self-seekers think should be a staff to support them becomes by the hand of justice an iron rod to break them. That which they would have as springs to refresh them becomes a gulf utterly to consume them. The crosses of self-seekers shall always exceed their mercies, their pain, their pleasure, their torments, their comforts. Every self-seeker is a self-tormentor, a self-destroyer. He carries a hell, an executioner in his own bosom. And Brother Coles goes on to say, please, Paula White, give up your self-seeking and seek the Lord. with all your heart and soul before it is too late. That's the word. Hello, Brother Moses.
Hello, Sister Susan. How are you doing today?
Very good.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Very good. So we have Brother Moses here from I Am Publishing, representing the publishing company of these most excellent, timely books. We remember the day, or we remember what history wrote of the day when Martin Luther rebelled against the selling of miracles and selling of indulgences to help fund the building of St. Peter's in Rome. And that's the way they have funded their building programs for the most part, was through the selling of miracles. And Martin Luther, who was a Catholic monk at the time, he rebelled, especially when he snuck at night reading the Bible. He had to sneak it because I think even they weren't allowed to read it, but he would sneak at night and read, and he found out that the just shall live by faith. Well, that was a revelation. So Luther rebelled against the lying, cheating miracle sellers of the day, and because of what he did, he had a death sentence on his life, and he had to escape and go into hiding. But there were friends in that day who hid him so that the Catholic Church would not murder him. So we have this publishing company now publishing these great books to be a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ. And it kind of reminds me of those days, of the days of the Reformation. And truly, we need a reformation in the body of Christ when we see the foolishness that goes on. And the thing that's the most pitiful about it is that they do it in the name of Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. That makes it even more disgusting. And would you introduce yourself, please, Brother Moses, again to my audience and the publishing company in this book?
Wonderful. Thank you, Sister Susan, for having me. My name is Brother Moses Preston, and I am one of the representatives of I Am Publishing Company. And I'm here to promote our new book, our new release, which is part of a trilogy. And we have been announcing the release of this trilogy for quite some time. And we were on your show, or rather one of our representatives was on your show on June the 21st, on that Saturday, Sister Priscilla Potts. And we introduced to the church the book entitled First Fruit Seawolf. Excuse me, Paul and Michelle White. So back on June 21st, we announced that book, and then we made arrangements with you on air to come back on this date to share the release of the second book with your audience.
Yes. And what would you say is the main purpose for the existence now of this wonderful publishing company, and why did you decide to publish these books?
Well, the main purpose for the publishing company is really to expose the heresies and the heretics that are rampant in the church. I mean, the church is just teeming, overflowing with con artists and charlatans who make merchandise, who make merchandise of God's people on a daily basis. So our goal is to put out literature, put out books that would expose the heresies. Now, sadly, when you expose the heresies, the heresies are attached to a heretic. You cannot expose the heresies without talking about the person who's promoting these twisted teachings. And so if there was a way that we can expose the teaching without talking about the heretic, we would have loved to have done that. But that's just impossible. And so this book is about first fruits. And who is the predominant person teaching first fruits? Paula White. And
yeah.
So we have no choice. We have no choice but to expose both the heresy and the heretic.
Yeah.
Now, of course, in exposing Paula White and in exposing her lengthy fleecing career, we also reach out to her and ask her to repent because she's a soul. And now whether she repents or not, it's up to her. But the as preachers of the gospel, we are required by the Lord to extend an invitation for all to repent.
Yeah.
And then we just leave it up to the
Well, we would hope that Paula White would repent, because it seems like the last time that you all published a book, which wasn't too long ago, the first book in this trilogy was Paula White, First Fruits, She-Wolf. And now this new book is excellent. I couldn't put it down. This is an excellent read. You can read this book quickly because it's so well done. It's so simple to understand. And you can then take it and pass it on to someone you know is caught up in this foolishness. And we know that most of the church, or the so-called church, is caught up in this stuff. I happened to be in a church service last week where the most I wasn't there for the whole thing, but the most exciting part of the service was when the person that was taking up the offering or doing the fleecing told everybody that we're going to believe God for debt cancellation. Oh, a roar went up in the place. So they don't get excited about souls getting saved, or they got excited because the fleecer was promising them debt cancellation. So the book is written by Elisha Coles. And, of course, now Brother Coles comes with a Ph.D. and a Ph.D. So he has studied many, many years, studied Greek, studied Hebrew, but he puts this book in very it's easy to understand. And I believe when I read these books, when I read the first book, Paula White, First Fruits, She-Wolf, and now this book, First Fruits, Fleecer, after you read these books, you can't, you know, there's no way you can come away with believing anything that Paula White has to say about first fruits. It totally destroys this false teaching, this fleecing. And what is fleecing, Brother Moses?
Well, you know, Dr. Coles, like you said before, Dr. Coles has written, and as you said, it's an easy, easy read. Now, the amazing thing is that while it is an easy read, it's a profound read.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't use big words, but he pulls out deep spiritual truths. And then, you know, the book is 240 pages, but by the time you read it, you say to yourself, wow, I went through 240 pages, because it's just a read that grabs your attention and keeps you at the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
And so when he did the trilogy, he did it in three parts, of course. It's a trilogy. And the first volume had to do with making his case and proving that Paula White did fit the description of a Matthew 7 15 kind of wolf. Of course, Matthew 7:15 is that portion of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus gave us a description of what a wolf in sheep's clothing would look like, and then Dr. Coles takes that description and he builds his entire case, and he proved it quite exceptionally. I mean, the gentleman did a fantastic job and systematically showed us how Paula White is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So the whole series, the whole trilogy, is his developing of a spiritual profile of Paula White. Now, the second book, he wanted to prove that Paula White is a fleecer. And a fleecer basically is another word for a con artist.
Yeah.
So in the book, he shows how, yes, pastors who truly pastor a flock are entitled to to shear their sheep. So shearing is very different from fleecing. And what I love about the book is that he differentiates between the two. He explains that shepherds can shear, but wolves fleece the flock. And I think he did an outstanding job in developing that, because a lot of times we use the term fleecing and fleecer, and we kind of have an idea, but we really don't have a clear-cut picture. So Dr. Coles used this entire book to prove and to make his second case that Paula White is a full-fledged 24-hour-a-day con artist. And he did a magnificent job in presenting his second case.
Yeah. It's kind of like you have to take off the mask, because she presents herself, and I noticed I was looking at her the other day on the Word Network, or the Unword Network, as I call it, and there she was in a low-cut shirt and bending over in the low-cut shirt. Now, I want to know what woman of God presents herself like that, holding a Bible and doing a Bible teaching. So that was the first thing that was hard. You noticed that straight off, and of course that was probably to entice men to watch the broadcast. And then she went on and on, and then always at the end of the teaching there's a hook, and the hook was the suddenly and the asking people for this $229 offering to get rid of your enemies. Now, either Jesus defeated the devil or he didn't defeat the devil. So how do we pay God off to get rid of our enemies? Can anybody please explain that to me? Can we really do something like that?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that while Paula is pushing that scam, because she has a scam for every month of the year, but while she's pushing that scam, she doesn't realize, or perhaps since our last show that we did together on the Prosperity Mafia, perhaps she got wind. But no matter how many of those offerings she gives to God, and I doubt that she gives any of those offerings to God, because she's just using those offerings to scam people. I doubt that she believes in those offerings or even gives them herself. But let's just say that Paula gave the offering. Well, it makes no difference how many of those offerings she gives. She's in a world of trouble, because I know for a fact that there are other authors out there already writing books about Paula White and her scams. So if she's giving offerings to get rid of her enemies, why are they multiplying? Why is it going to be that in a couple of years there'll be 20 to 30 books out there on her? So, and it so happened that in the month of July, in the very month that she was claiming that it's the month to get rid of your enemies, more scholars came forward and decided to write books on her. So her enemies are not going away. Her enemies are multiplying. So she's a scam artist, and that's basically what we can conclude about Paula White.
Yeah, it seems that it never ends because when you watch her, it all, like I said, it always kind of goes, the whole teaching and the whole program kind of winds itself around to the end when she's going to hit you up for the offering. But it's always an offering for something you can buy from God that they don't want to tell you you can get for free. Since when? I don't remember anybody ever walking up to Jesus and laying money at his feet and saying, "Here, Jesus, here's $5. $10. Will you save my family? Will you heal my children? Will you help me with my enemies?" I don't remember anybody ever doing anything like that, and Jesus ever receiving any offerings like that and saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So if it's not in the Word of God and Jesus didn't do it, then it's not gospel. These people are con artists. They know how to con you. They know what buttons to push. They know what trigger to use. And we don't have a God that's sitting on a throne and then we have to bring him candy and flowers and incense and money and drop it at his feet to get him to do something for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. How much more is God supposed to give you before you get over it already and realize that we have been redeemed from the curse? We have been redeemed. Either you're redeemed or you're not redeemed. So trying to get something for nothing?
Well, Susan, here's the thing. Look, if we consider what Paula says and what Jesus says, obviously she doesn't represent the Lord. For the Lord said, "Pray for your enemies," right? So
yeah,
that means
yeah.
that the Lord that means that the Lord was not interested in receiving money to get rid of your enemies, but he was interested in having you pray for people. So what Jesus would receive from us is intercessions on behalf of our enemy for the Lord to save them. Not
yes,
for the
amen.
Lord to get rid of them, but for the Lord to save them. So
yeah.
Paula prays, or she says, so that you can get rid of your enemies. And Jesus says, pray so that God can convert your enemies. You see, so it's two different messages.
Yeah.
And this is why if we just read the Bible, if we just study the scriptures, we would just know that Paula White is a scam artist. And she's
yeah.
got a scam for everything.
Yeah. She's got a scam for everything. It's they sit up late at night and they plan their next because you can't be a saved person. You cannot be a saved person and then come up with these kind of scams that you're going to run on people. While you're holding a Bible and you're using the name of Jesus, you're not saved. No, you're not born again.
You're not.
When you're born again, you have a new life. You have a new spirit. You don't con people.
Paula's not born again because...
No.
Now, she may use celestial language. She may use the vocabulary of the saint. But that's one of her many sheepskins in order to deceive and to con. And Dr. Coles explained that when he spoke about wolves in sheep's clothing. So Paula's not saved. She was never saved. She's a professional. She's a professional con person, and she doesn't love the Lord. She doesn't love the Lord's people. And she's only in church. She's only in so-called ministry because it's easy money.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can rap. These people know that there's real Christians out there that are hurting, and they know which button to push. They push a certain button, and then you know people open up their wallets and their checkbooks, and they give these people money and support their lifestyle. So the purpose of this, these books and this publishing company and even my radio broadcast is to put these people out of business. Look, save your money. How many divorces has there been? How many arguments has there been over people giving money that they don't have to these fleecers, these con artists, these wolves? Brother Moses, what is a wolf?
Well, a wolf, you know, it's interesting because the Bible talks about the different kind of predators that the that a shepherd in Israel would face when shepherding God's flock. You have when David said to Saul, you know, a bear came and took one of my lambs, and then he said a lion came. So according to Scripture and according to other extra-biblical sources, there are seven kinds of predators that attack, you know, a flock. If you lived in Palestine during the days of Jacob or the days of David or even the days of the Savior. But out of all of those seven predators, the Lord chose to call wolves or to identify wolves with false prophets. And so a wolf looks like a dog, and a dog is man's best friend. But a wolf is not a dog. We can say that a wolf is an unconverted dog, an undomesticated dog, a wild dog.
Yeah.
And so wolves in God's house are just false prophets and false teachers. And they're very dangerous to God's flock.
Yeah, and Paul himself, he said that he would weep night and day and warn people because he knew that these wolves were going to creep in and try to deceive people. And we see, I've never seen such deception. I've been saved since 1981. And I've never seen this kind of deception on the scale that it is.
And Dr. Coles explained that the wolves in the church are just a wolf by nature is a predator. That they just hunt. Wolves live for the hunt. They live to eat. They live to devour. And once they've devoured prey, they go in pursuit again to devour more. So this is what you find in wolves. Wolves have an unlimited appetite. And in Paula's case and in her friend's case, they're just devouring people's finances.
Yeah.
And this is why you see them 24/7 on TV, on the internet, and on every social media trying to get people's money. Wolves have insatiable appetites. They're never satisfied.
Yeah.
And this is why we have to put up this kind of battle against wolves. And fight against them with everything that we have.
Yes, amen. I'm just going to read this back cover here from the book First Fruits Fleecer. Best-selling author Elisha Coles penned First Fruits Fleecer with the sole objective of bringing to the fore his second case against Prosperity Wolfette, Paula Michelle White. By extensively analyzing Ms. White's various teachings, Dr. Coles proves that she is a mammon-crazed con artist who fleeces the body of Christ from January to December by employing a vast array of Old Testament feast day offering scams, such as the first fruits, Passover, Pentecost, and Day of Atonement offerings. Dr. Coles commences by chronicling how each January Paula White begins her year-long fleecing campaign by operating her first con, her patented first fruits offering scam, a lucrative hustle she created and has been operating since 2006. This bombshell of a sequel will greatly aid believers in differentiating between authorized shearing and abusive fleecing, between a loving shepherd and a fleecing she-wolf, and between a legitimate Christ-honoring ministry which deserves our full backing and a diva-supporting fleece-a-try like Paula White Ministries, which deserves not a dime in financial support. Amen. The wealth of information provided in this revelatory tome will safeguard the reader from Paula White, who is a tireless and merciless financial predator who is on the prowl year-round in search of gullible Christians she can easily strip of their finances. First Fruits Fleecer, the second blockbuster volume in the must-read landmark trilogy that exposes She-Wolf, Paula Michelle White, and her patented First Fruits offering scam. Amen.
And in this book, Dr. Coles does a number of things. First of all, he expands on his profile on Paula White, because in the first one, he established that she is a wolf. In the second one, he wants to establish that she's a con artist. In the volume that's to follow, he wants to establish the fact that she's the top female wolf in all of prosperity wolfdom. So by the end of volume three, the profile would be complete. So the profile is being enhanced in this second volume. The second thing he wanted to do was he wanted to show that from January to December, Paula's in the fleecing business. And she has a scam for every single month of the year, and he documents it in the book, which is quite interesting. And then
And then
the other thing he wanted to do was he wanted to show the difference between what is authorized shearing, because pastors are to derive a salary. So what is authorized shearing and what is abusive fleecing? And in all of the fleecing books I've ever read, I've never had someone explain the difference between the two, and I found that quite interesting. Then the second thing he does is he shows the difference between a loving shepherd and a fleecing she-wolf. So by comparing Paula White to Moses, to Samuel, and to David, to Paul, he uses David, Samuel, Paul, and Moses. He uses those four biblical characters, and he shows how they were loving shepherds. And then he compares them to Paula, and he says, look, she's not a shepherd. She is a wolf. And I found that very, very interesting in the book. So he differentiates between a loving shepherd and a fleecing wolf. And then, based on the first two comparisons, then he says, you see, this is why you're not to support Paula White, because her ministry is not Christ-honoring, but rather it is diva-supporting. You're just supporting the lifestyle of a self-centered, egotistical, me kind of woman. And that's all Paula White Ministries. I don't care what she says, who she claims to help, how many book bags she gives out, how many school supplies. First of all, Jesus Christ never established his church so that we can give children school supplies. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to preach the gospel.
Yes.
Not to give children school supplies. Now that's okay, but Jesus didn't raise up the church for that.
Yeah.
And so if we're doing that and not preaching the gospel, then we're not the church. We're something else.
Well, it's another hook to get people into that place they call a church over there, New Destiny Christian, I use the term loosely, center in Apopka, Florida, but they want to get more sheep in there to fleece, so they have this event. But let me remind my listeners here that Paula White, you know, she claims to be so blessed that she was preaching a sermon about 2 weeks ago at T.D. Jakes' place there. They invited her there to the Potter's House to do a fundraising scheme for T.D. Now, she was bragging there at the service that she's so blessed. Oh, now she tells the people, now don't hate me now. Come on, don't hate because I'm blessed. Well, who would hate? Now, give me a break. Like, why would anybody be jealous and envious or hate Paula White? For conning people? You can't earn an honest living? You got to come up with all kinds of schemes and make stuff up that the Bible doesn't even say to get people to support you. So, yeah, Paula, you're delusional. Nobody hates you because they're jealous of you because of all you've got. You bankrupted two churches. You bankrupted the church in Tampa is bankrupt. They have filed for bankruptcy. You can go on the internet and even read the bankruptcy papers if you want there at the Tampa courthouse. They bankrupt the church there in Tampa without walls. It's bankrupt. It was going to a foreclosure auction, and somebody, some developer, grabbed it up before it was auctioned. Bankrupted the church in Lakeland, 10,000-seat church on 65 acres, a beautiful piece of property that they left for 3 years without electricity. The electricity was turned off by the county because they didn't pay their bills. They claimed that they could not hire a security guard, so the property has suffered millions of dollars in damages by vandals. They didn't take care of that stuff. That property was auctioned off on July 7th. So it's all these Passover offerings and first fruits offerings and suddenly offerings, and if all these things really worked, why didn't they work for her? They didn't work for her. So then she goes over there to Apopka, and I don't know how she ever accomplished it, but managed to get worm her way in there and call herself a pastor. Well, a pastor is a shepherd that loves people and cares about people and has no other motivation, is not self-seeking, but they care about people. They care about people's bank accounts, and they don't fleece people week after week. In this book, First Fruits Fleecer, on page 26, it says, what is fleecing? And the definition of fleece is to strip. The Greek word klepto, which comes from kleptomaniac, means to steal by defrauding another. In my opinion, the word fleece is just as good as steal in some instances. The Greek noun kleptos, translated thief in John 10, is a vile person who robs another by embezzling or pilfering them. John 10:10, and this is a good way to put it, John 10:10. The fleecer does not come except to embezzle, to kill, and to destroy. The
Absolutely.
Fleecer does
exactly.
not come except to embezzle, to kill, and to destroy, John 10:10.
Amen. And Dr. Coles does an exceptional job of taking us from the very beginning of the book. He lays out his opening statement. He begins to develop his case, and he begins to document step by step by step. Listen, this book has, go here to the table of content. This book has 16 chapters. As Susan said, as you said, this is an easy read. It's 240 pages. But the information contained therein just has you at the edge of your seat. He's a masterful teacher, but more importantly, he's a masterful storyteller. And he just explains it in such simple terms. And people who read this book and people who read the first book will understand that each book has its own theme. Each book is trying to drive a particular point home, is trying to put in the mind of the reader a certain concept. And once you read this book, it's so convincing, so powerful. And he uses Paula's words. Here's the interesting thing. He uses Paula's words out of her own book, out of all of her emails, because he's gotten her emails and that she sends to people when she attempts to con them. And he uses all of that just to build his case and to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that she is a top-tier con artist. But not only a top-tier con artist, but she is a tireless con artist. She can be up at 4 in the morning sending out emails. Now, who's up at 4 in the morning sending out emails? A tireless con artist. He's got some of her emails. They've come in at 4, 5, and the time is on the email. Who's up at that time? So not only is she a tireless con artist, but then she's merciless. She goes after the money, and she wants all of it. Not some
of
your
money.
Well,
the thing is, they go after these
money.
People. For instance, in Tampa, most of the people that went to the church there were poor people. Tampa's not known for that many luxurious neighborhoods, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And neither is Apopka. So they prey on people that are just about getting by anyway, people that are probably in debt up to their eyeballs. And they promise you an easy way out. Don't live right. Don't get a job. Just see if you can pay God off and get him to bless you. That's what they tell people. So that's kind
of
listen,
listen, we know that it didn't work for Oral Roberts. Did it work for him? No, didn't work for him. And over at the Lakeland property, Paula was there, and she would prophesy, we're going to build a hospital, we're going to build a school, we're going to have a college campus, and when you go there, sadly, the prophecies have not come to pass. She's a false prophet, and now she's prophesying the very same prophecies over at Apopka.
Yeah.
So those people over there should be leery of what this woman is saying to them.
Yeah, because like you said, these video clips are available on the internet, and these are her own words. I saw her prophesying over there in Lakeland property, at the Lakeland property, the property that was foreclosed and auctioned off. What a great hospital they were going to build. And I actually saw someone had a picture of equipment that was left there, dentist chairs, dental equipment. They just left all that stuff behind there. They didn't even take it and try to sell it or anything, even before the foreclosure. They just left all that stuff there we care about people. We want to clothe the naked and feed the poor. But they left food and they left furniture and they left clothes to rot in those buildings for 3 years. So we're not making this stuff up. I also want to mention, look, I'm not the kind of person, and I have these programs to speak to the body of Christ and whoever wants to listen, but I don't try to do anything to hurt people. I don't go underhanded and, report people or whatever. Anything I do in public. That's not my thing. I don't do that kind of stuff. Whatever I have to say about any of these so-called ministries, I say on the air. I don't go and try to do underhanded things to people to hurt people and to hurt their families. That's not what I'm about, and that's not what this ministry is about. This, what we do here on this radio broadcast, is we try to bring to the attention of poor sheep out there that are being fleeced, and conned. We're trying to bring it to your attention that you are free in Jesus Christ. Let me read this here on page 64. According to Paula, God's blessings are predicated or dependent upon keeping him, God, first. That means you must give God the first fruits offering first before he will do anything for you. You see, brethren, the god Paula White writes about is a stripper of wealth, much like she is. Paula's god is a plunderer. She is a master fleecer, thus her god is one also. The god she speaks of is of her creation, the product of her covetous heart and demonic whispers. 1 Timothy 4:1. Her deity bears no resemblance to the divine shepherd of Psalms 23, who freely gives us all things. Amen.
And Dr. Coles even compares, not only does he compare Paula to shepherds like Moses and David and Paul and Samuel, but he also compares her God to the God of Psalm 23, because our Lord is a shepherd. And in that whole psalm, in Psalm 23, God is giving his people. At one time, at no time in that psalm, as Dr. Coles so wonderfully proves, at no time in the Psalm 23 is God demanding that you sow a seed or give him an offering in order for him to give you the things that you need. And so Paula's God doesn't even match the God of the Bible.
No.
And Dr. Coles just lays that out beautifully.
Yeah, beautifully.
And this is, yes, go ahead, Susan. I'm sorry.
Also on page 103, he talks about the first fruits offering campaign that ends on March 1st, but then she begins pushing her Passover scam. One week before the Passover offering was due, she doubled her efforts by joining forces with fellow Wolf Steve Muncy. During that week, White and Muncy used their powers of persuasion to get naive Christians to send in the Passover offering before the deadline. Both fleecers promised that if saints gave this offering, God would release 7 supernatural blessings upon them. Dear Lord, help us.
Yes.
Does it ever end? This, let me just read to you the 7 supernatural releases that you were going to get if you sent God gave God a little bit of money. They told you that God was going to assign an angel to you, be an enemy to your enemies.
Let me, let me just interject for a moment, Susan. Where Dr. Cole gets that from, he got that from an email Paula sent him.
Okay.
So, you know, that in the book, everything that's in the book that he's describing, it's cut and paste out of emails that he gets from Paula.
Yeah.
And Paula will never figure out who he is because he gets emails through multiple email addresses. So she'll never figure, but she's constantly sending emails, and so he can just see how she's developing her scams, and so that's verbatim. That's right out of the email.
Yeah.
Okay.
As most of his quotes and the newspaper articles, it's all public record. There's nothing here that's anybody's opinion or something that people made up. These are the words that are coming right out of her mouth from her television program, from her sermons, and from newspaper articles that were published, especially in the Tampa Tribune, the Tampa Bay Times, which was the St. Petersburg Times.
The Tampa Tribune.
One time. Yeah.
Yeah, the Tampa Tribune.
Yeah. And also the Orlando Sentinel, I think, published.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the Lakeland Ledger. So these are newspaper articles that were published. And, of course, if they were writing things in these articles that weren't true, you can be sued for that kind of thing. So newspapers know better than to do that. They know that they better get their facts straight. Otherwise, they're going to be sued. So they were not sued. And we will talk about some of these articles in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to just finish here with these 7 ridiculous promises that Muncy and White promise you if you give God some money. We said, assign an angel to you, be an enemy to your enemies, give you prosperity, take sickness away from you, give you a long life, bring increase and inheritance, and give you a special year of blessing. Wow.
And in that package, one of the things that God will do as he becomes the enemy of your enemies is that he would get rid of your enemies, right?
Yeah.
So in March, she's hitting them upside the head, asking them for another donation, and in that donation, God will get rid of your enemies. But then now in July, she's asking them to give another offering so that God can get rid of your enemies. So here's the thing. Either God is lousy at getting rid of your enemies, either he can't do a good job, or Paul is a scam artist. Because when you give the first fruits offering, he's supposed to get rid of your enemies. That's part of the deal. When you give the Passover offering, he's supposed to get rid of your enemies. When you give the Pentecost offering, according to Paula and her emails, God is supposed to get rid of your enemies. And then in July, she comes up. Now you just paid her in January. You gave her money in March. You gave her money in June. You gave her three offerings already so that God can get rid of your enemies. But in July, she's asking you to give another offering. So wait a minute. I've already paid you three times to do a job, and you haven't done it yet? If you had a mechanic, would you pay a mechanic three times to get something done and then go to him the fourth time and pay him again to do something on your car?
Yeah.
No, you would call the Better Business Bureau is what you would do.
Yeah. This is the Better Business Bureau right here.
Exactly. So listen, she's a scam artist, and Dr. Coles documents it. He uses her own emails and the words that she penned in her own book, and he shows, listen, don't get scammed. She does represent God. She's not a shepherd. She's not a pastor. She doesn't talk like a pastor. She doesn't act like a pastor. She doesn't manage money like a pastor. This woman is a wolf and a con artist. And all you're doing is you're supporting her lifestyle. You're supporting her jet, her fuel, her cars, her Botox, her plastic surgery.
Oh, you got plenty of Botox. The face doesn't move.
The buying of shoes. And then Paula doesn't want you to hate. Nobody hates Paula White. She has to stop with that nonsense.
Nobody can care less. We don't hate people that get their so-called prosperity through fleecing God's people. Nobody's jealous of that.
We have an obligation to warn God's people.
Right.
And as I said before, we're here to expose heresy. It so happens that heresy is always connected to a heretic. So you can't separate the two.
Well, it's like the Word of God says. After a heretic, after the first and second admonition, rejects. So they were calling out heretics in the New Testament.
Of course. And Jesus in Matthew 23, when he confronts the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes, he calls them hypocrites seven times.
Yeah.
And so Jesus didn't hold back when he had to call somebody a phony. He called them a phony. And Paula White is as phony as they come.
Yeah.
Phony. That's the boss. She's a phony. She's she's just a creation of T.D. Jakes. And that's it. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So Dr. Coles, in the secondary title, reads like this, documenting how prosperity she-wolf Paula Michelle White sets out to fleece Christians right down to the bone. And I love the picture on the cover because it shows a wolf with a deer carcass, and the wolf has got it right down to the bone. There's no meat on the carcass.
Yeah.
And he's gnawing on the bone.
Yeah,
and that's
what
Paula White will do to anybody who would give her the chance or the time of day.
Yeah. Yeah, because a real pastor, a real shepherd, a real Christian, you have the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin. And we know that these things are wrong. We know that we can't make this kind of stuff up just to support so-called ministry that you have. And so then you're staying up night and day thinking of new ways to get some money to support this monster that you've built, because that's why you see almost all of them begging constantly for money on these shows, because they have to support this monster that they built out of, you know, their flesh built this thing. And so then they have to think up all these new scams. And one of these scams also is how Paula uses the Old Testament. And I want to talk about this, about a Judaizer is one who persuades Gentile Christians into adopting Jewish religious customs and practices. It says, I must stress again that the yearly observance of the Hebrew-Jewish feast like first fruits was for the Israelites in keeping with the ceremonial portion of the law of Moses. But it is not required of us Christians since Christ's death rendered the ceremonial portion of the Mosaic law obsolete.
Well, here's the thing, Susan. Let's look at it critically for a moment. If you were to go to Israel today, if you would go to Israel, and you would ask a Jew who's a direct descendant, right, from the Hebrew people, if you were to ask them today, do you guys give a first fruits offering? And the answer would be no. Now, here's why. Number one, most people in Israel don't work in agriculture. So first fruits was only to be derived from agriculture. So if you, if you work in a tech company, or if you're a lawyer, or you're a doctor, you don't give first fruits, because first fruits must be fruits. It's not. It's never money.
Right.
Here's the second thing. If you're a Jew, and let's say you live in California, you can't give first fruits, because first fruits can only come out of the Holy Land. So if the fruit is not coming out of the Holy Land, then if it's coming out of California, you can't give it. They wouldn't accept it because it's not coming out of the Holy Land, because Moses clearly specified that when you come into the land that the Lord thy God will give thee, then you are to give first fruits out of that land and that land only.
Yeah.
And so God is not to, and you know, so even the Jews today don't bother with first fruits, because agriculture in Israel is very limited to a small segment of the population. Number two, they don't have a priesthood. They do.
Right.
They have rabbis, but they don't have a high priest. They don't have Levites. So there's no temple where you're to bring the first fruits. So since they don't have a temple, they don't have a priesthood, and you know, the support that comes into the synagogues and into the places of worship come from people who work secular jobs. No one in Israel gives first fruits. So now here you have a woman who claims that this is Jewish and that we have to hold to the Bible, and even the Jewish people don't give first fruits. How are we going to give first fruits? They don't give first fruits. So it's a scam.
Yeah, it's a scam. Also, one time I had called a rabbi and asked him if they tithe at their synagogue. He said, no.
Right. Exactly. They don't tithe.
No.
And here's the thing with the tithe. As you know, the tithe is used, yes, for the ministry. But then you had to feed the widow. You had to feed the orphan. And you had to feed the stranger, right? And so it wasn't used for building programs or for salaries or for – no, it's food. That's why the Bible speaks of storehouses.
Right.
Storehouses.
It's not the church building.
Exactly.
They like to tell you that. But what I saw, too, when I was reading in the Old Testament, if you look up the word willingly – especially in the King James, if you look up the word willingly and the word free will and the word offering, when they were bringing money into the temple, it says they gave it willingly, free will. So money was given out of their free will. It wasn't a tithe or a first fruits offering. That was food.
In fact, we know that from Scripture that that's what God accepts.
Right.
God loves a cheerful giver,
a
manipulated giver, not a giver who's been manipulated, not a hoodwinked giver, not a deceived giver, but God loves a cheerful giver.
Right.
Not a giver who's been, his arm has been twisted, not a giver who's been put on a guilt trip. God loves a cheerful giver.
Well, yeah, because Paula likes to say, now get up and go to your phone. Well, God doesn't talk to you that way. Usually most people are sitting at home and they're doing whatever they're doing, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to them all of a sudden in a suddenly and say, get up and go to the phone and give Paula White $100 or $1,000 or $10,000. Usually that doesn't happen. The only time most people give money to these people is when these people are telling them, they're using the power of suggestion to tell you to do it, and then to tell you that God is telling you to do it. When if God was going to tell you to give somebody some money, he would tell you right there at home without anybody telling you what to do. That's how God talks to people. He talks to you directly, not through some so-called prophetess or P-R-O-F-I-T-E-S-S.
Exactly. And listen, we know that God, the main way that God speaks to us and the most trustworthy way that God speaks to us is through his word.
Yeah.
So why don't we just read his word?
Yeah.
And let his word, which was written without error, let it speak for itself.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, because people say, well, how are people supposed to know to give? Well, you're born again, aren't you? Aren't you? Are you born again? You're born again with the Spirit of God. Well, then you know that you're supposed to be a giver. You should just know that. That should just come naturally. Like, does somebody have to beat you over the head every Sunday or on every TV program to get you to give, to teach you how to be a giver? That's supposed to come natural to a Christian.
That's correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Susan, I'd like to go to the table of content.
Okay.
And go through and just explain to our hearing audience what's in the book.
Okay.
And, of course, the first thing Dr. Cole does is he provides an introduction, and there he questions why hasn't Paula or her son
contacted him.
About the debate. So that's
okay. Yeah, let's put that out there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll read that shortly.
Yeah.
And then in chapter one, he presents his opening statement, which, like a lawyer, now he's not a lawyer, but he used the style of a lawyer presenting his case in court, and he makes an opening statement, and he tells the reader where he's going with the book in his opening statement. Then in chapter two, is entitled Shepherds Shear Their Flock. And he explains how any shepherd only shears their flock once a year and why they can only shear their flocks once a year. In other words, a sheep, a lamb, only gives its wool to its shepherd once a year. And then after that, no more wool.
Yeah.
And so he explains the scientific reason for that, and it's an outstanding chapter. Then in chapter 3, wolves fleece other people's sheep. And so, again, he talks about wolves who are shepherds who are masquerading, or rather, wolves who are masquerading as shepherd, and they fleece. Now, to fleece is, as he explains it, to excessively shear. So you're only allowed to shear once, but the moment you shear twice or thrice or more than that, the moment you keep shearing, then that turns into fleecing.
Yeah.
And that's a fascinating chapter there. And then in chapter 4, he talks about She-Wolf Paula White, an independent fleecer. And what he means by that is that basically she prowls and she hunts and she looks for prey among independent churches. She doesn't go to the Presbyterian Church or the Lutheran Church or the Methodist Church. Those are denominational churches. Where she does most of her hunting, where she does most of her fleecing, where works most of her con artistry is among independent churches. And so he explains that, and then he explains why Paula can't get into the big denominations. And then in chapter 5, he talks about She-Wolf Paula White, a masquerading fleecer. And basically, he talks about how Paula has taken on the persona of one of Satan's apostles. And Paul, in his second epistle to the Corinthians, explains that. And so basically, he said, Dr. Cole says, Paula's masquerading as a minister of Christ. Don't you believe it?
Yeah.
And then in chapter 6, he talks about She-Wolf Paula White, a fleecer in shepherd's garb. And so basically, she's a fleecer who operates under the title of pastor.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 7, he has She-Wolf Paula White, a multi-location senior fleecer. And this book was written some time ago. So at the time that he wrote this, Paula White was pastoring in multiple locations. She's
yeah.
no longer doing that. But
right.
he left it in the book because this is, you know, he wrote it. It took him 3 years to write the trilogy, and then the trilogy's been on hold for another 2 years. So really, this series has been written 5 years ago.
Oh.
Or it's been 5 years in the making. So
but it
there's
is
some
updated.
Things
yeah, he
yeah,
did update.
But, right. But he left the information in to show that she fleeced in Lakeland, she fleeced in Tampa, and she's fleecing in Apopka. And so
yeah.
she's a multi-location senior fleecer. And the
yeah.
reason why he calls her senior fleecer is because she goes by the title of senior pastor.
Oh.
And then in chapter eight, She-Wolf Paula White, a global fleecer. And then he shows how through Paula White Ministries, she has a global platform and she fleeces people worldwide.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting chapter there. And then in chapter 9, She-Wolf Paula White, a serial fleecer. And he just shows how Paula White is just a kleptomaniac. She has a sickness. She can't stop fleecing. She can't stop. It's a sickness. And so in chapter 10, he writes Paula White, a She-Wolf Paula White, a first fruits fleecer. That's when he gets into how she tries to scam through first fruits. And then in chapter 11, She-Wolf Paula White, a Judaizing fleecer. And basically he proves there that she uses all of the Old Testament to run her scams. So she's bringing Christians under Judaism, and we shouldn't be under Judaism. And then in chapter 12, he writes, She-Wolf Paula White, an inspiring fleecer. And in that chapter, he explains how Paula White has inspired a great host of copycats
yeah.
to follow her in her fleecing campaign. So she's inspired many to villainy and criminality. She's inspired, she's given life to many crooks in the church, and many of them are running with her scam. And Dr. Coles even mentions how she's even inspired someone like Rod Parsley. Now
oh,
Rod
yeah.
Parsley is running with her scam.
Yeah, the
and,
first scam, yeah.
Yeah, as Dr. Cole said, Ron Parsley doesn't need a lot to inspire him. He's
no.
got, you know, he's greedy enough.
Yeah,
but
he's
has,
greedy enough.
She has inspired him. And then in chapter 13, he writes, She-Wolf Paula White, a dangerous fleecer. And then he talks about how she fleeced a little old lady by the name of Ruth McGinnis. And there he uses four articles from the Tampa Tribune, which, by the way, were written in 2007 and 2008. Paula White has never, ever, ever contested any of those articles. And the Tampa Tribune has never retracted anything that they wrote in those wonderful articles. So when he writes that Paula White is dangerous, it means that she is so dangerous that she would even go after a little old lady of 86 years of age, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 14, he writes, She-Wolf Paula White, a prophelying fleecer, and how she's prophesying, but we know it's prophelying. And that's when she asked people for $229. And that's a comical chapter because Dr. Coles just shows how stupid it is to believe Paula White, and how comical it is that her, even her own scams don't help her.
Yeah.
And then chapter 15, he writes, Paula White, a doomed fleecer, and he just shows how God's judgment is rapidly racing towards her if she doesn't repent. And so there's a few other chapters. There's an open letter to her and an open letter to her son, and that's the gist of the book. But you read the book. Give us some of your comments on because you got an advanced copy.
Yeah, I loved it. I really, really did. I love this kind of information because we want to help people come out of the fog that they're in, especially the erroneous things that they believe about God and about Jesus, that somehow we have to give God money, which we don't give God money because God doesn't need any money. He never needed any money. We give money to each other, to help each other. So we want to, I personally want to tear down that stronghold that the body of Christ operates in and truly teach people my purpose, and I believe the purpose of books like this is to teach, we have to reteach people what it means to be a Christian because people have developed this selfish, this terrible selfishness that they will only do things, they will only give money if they can get money back. And so that's why people like Paula White are so dangerous to the body of Christ, especially to new believers, to the sheep that Jesus Christ died for. And this is the kind of book I like to take and hug. I like to give these kind of books a hug because somebody else out there, and I find it very refreshing, but God has a people that we know what the truth is, like Brother Coles and yourself and other people out there. We know what the truth is. So, and we didn't know each other, but we were all out there, and, you know, God brought us together. And we all feel the same way about this thing that's been done to God's church, his blood-bought church. And so we want to tear those strongholds down and bring this reformation of real love, and compassion for people that doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you any offerings to get this love. God so loved the world that he gave. How much more could God do for you? Jesus Christ laid down his life. Wasn't that enough? So when these kind of people come around like Paula White and Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy and Mike Murdoch and Oral Roberts and all the rest of them, that have wreaked so much havoc to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and brought in so many damnable heresies, oh, it's time to tear it down. So when I see a book like this and I'm so inspired and I'm so uplifted that somebody took the time out of his life to do this, to take years out of his life to do this for the body of Christ, and it was a labor of love. It wasn't done because he was expecting to make millions of dollars or whatever. No, these books have been written to help the body of Christ. Teaching is a ministry that God has ordained, the teaching ministry. We can't do without teachers. We need teachers. Of course, the Holy Ghost is our teacher, number one. But God has put teachers in the body of Christ that have taken the time, taken years out of their lives to do the study on these topics, which most people don't have the time to do. They don't have 3 years or whatever, however long it took Brother Coles to write this book, to do the research that he did. So he puts the research, the documentation, the quotes, the newspaper articles, everything's in here. And so I feel like it's an important read. and then to take the book and to either get a copy for somebody you know that's in this involved in this mess, or give your copy away to someone. Let me just mention the website if you want to go there. It's prosperitytruthexposed.com, right?
That's correct, prosperitytruthexposed.com. And when they go to the website, they'll see they can click on First Fruits She-Wolf, and then that will lead them to a page where you have First Fruits Fleecer. Now, if they see the price at $16.99, just click there, and automatically the reduced price would come on, which is $14.99.
Okay.
So don't let the $16.99 scare anybody away. Just click there, and they'll see that it'll be reduced to $14.99.
Okay. And also the email address, if anybody wants to email you.
Yeah, that's when you go to the website, the email address is right there. And everything's on the website. They can leave us a message there, and everything is included there. But let me give it to them anyway.
Yeah.
It's book review at iampub.net.
Okay.
Book review at iampub.net. And we'd love to hear from Paula. We'd love to hear from her son. And we have it. But, you know, digressing a little bit and talking about the articles in the book, when back in May, when you began to announce that you were going to make a special announcement about Paula White on June 21st, and there was another internet radio program that was making the same announcement that they were going to have a special announcement. Paula White, in a preemptive strike, began to tell her church that 49 articles were written about her and her husband in the Tampa Tribune. She knew something was coming. She just didn't know what it was. And then she claimed that the Tampa Tribune wrote those 49 articles because, and listen, this is in a sermon video.
So, yeah, it's on tape. I heard it too.
So it's not like we're making this up. You know, it went streaming. People saw it. So she began to say that.
Oh, I have it on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
If they want to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. So she began to say that the 49 articles were due because there was a disgruntled former church administrator that went and blabbed to the Tampa Tribune. Well, the Tampa Tribune never heard from a church administrator. These articles were written because they went to the people who had been fleeced by Paula White and her husband. And so this is not secondhand information or third-hand information that the Tampa Tribune was running on, because you know that you have to have credible sources when you run a story.
Right.
Right?
Especially a newspaper that's been in business for many, many years. This is not an internet blog that somebody could make stuff up. We don't do that on this program. I try to be very careful about what I post, that I check out the source, because I don't want to put things up either that aren't true. But
these things
are true. They happened.
Yeah. So Dr. Coles took all of the articles that were written in the Tampa Tribune. There's 49 of them. He went through all of them, and he put five of these articles in the book. So it behooves people to read in order to find out how Paula White is so ruthless. In two of the articles, Dr. Coles points out how Paula White scammed a little old lady by the name of Ruth McGinnis. And once again, let me say that, and say that none of these articles were ever contested by Paula White, and there was never a retraction by the Tampa Tribune. So the articles stand as they do, and as far as everyone's concerned, the articles are pure gospel. In addition to that, Dr. Coles put up another article that was written by John Barr, who happened to be a reporter for ESPN magazine, and he documents how Pastor Randy and Paula White took a World Series ring from Daryl Strawberry. And that's in the John Barr article entitled Randy and Paula White's Without Walls Church Stunning Reversal of Fortune, which was printed in 2009. And
yeah.
In addition to that, he highlights how for ABC News, a reporter by the name of Lisa Myers did an expose, and this is the title that she gave to her expose, which went on TV, and it's on the internet. The name of the reporter is Lisa Myers, ABC News, and the title of the expose was Paula and Randy White, Fleecing the Flock.
Wow.
Fleecing the Flock. So, again, now these are, you know, he couldn't fill the book with all the articles. I mean, you just can't do that because the book would be, you know, 2,000 pages. But he put enough pertinent information there to show the reader that Paula White is a full-fledged scam artist, full-fledged. So it's
yeah.
just a fascinating read.
What about the challenge to debate?
Yeah, if we can, Susan, if you can read the first chapter, or rather the introduction, if you can read that for us.
Okay.
Paula White runs for cover.
Yeah, Paula White. Okay.
Yep.
I was able to inform Paula White that I was challenging her to a series of public debates by way of two internet radio programs, which aired on back-to-back days. The subject of these debates was to be Ms. White's teaching on first fruits as delineated in her book, First Things First. As I predicted, the contents of First Fruits She-Wolf filled Paula White with immense fright, explaining why she chose rapid flight instead of dogged fight. The photograph above is the last image of Paula White on record, and it speaks volumes, for it shows how this pulpit bully has tucked her tail between her legs and is running as fast as she can. Eyewitnesses say that Paula was running so fast that she left her lone wolf pup in the dust. This explains why Bradley, who was running behind his mother, is not in the photograph. 60 days have passed, and it's more than that now, I think. 60 days have passed since I first issued my challenge, and I have reissued it 8 weeks in a row. Now, this is Dr. Elisha Coles, the author of this book. He is issuing a public call for a public debate for Paula White to defend her first fruits teaching. And truly, this is me talking now. If her first fruits teaching was true, she shouldn't be afraid to defend it. Okay,
absolutely.
Now, to date, Brother Cole says, to date, I have not heard from Ms. White or her son, who doubles as her business manager, and I suspect that the yellow streaks running down the full length of their backs is a clear indication I never will. Paula White's cowardly decision to not debate only validates what I have been saying all along, that she is a fraud, a paper wolf, who only talks big when non-threatening newspaper reporters are present and when the prosperity mafia ensures the outcome of a fight, i.e. the suspected fix over who was to gain control over New Destiny.
And what Christian. Dr. Coles is alluding to there is that when she was battling Reva Timms for control of New Destiny Christian Center, there was a reporter from the Orlando Sentinel named Jeff Kuneth, and he recorded how Paula White said, I came out of my mama's womb fighting. I'll fake you any day, any time. Well, knowing that she's a brawler, knowing that she'll take on anybody any day, any time, Dr. Coles has issued her a challenge. But so as he alludes to here, it seems like Paula White only talks big when she knows that, you know, the fight is fixed. That's
yeah.
the only time she talks big, because when you really have to fight, she doesn't fight. She runs
yeah.
for cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you believe what you're talking about as a so-called minister, then you should be able to defend your position and document your teaching, your first fruits offering teaching, where she demands people to give 1 month's salary. 1 month's salary? Wow. Well, that's full of love and compassion, isn't it? And so she should be able to defend her teaching. And to I would like people, if anybody's listening from New Destiny Christian, in quotes, Center, would you please ask Paula why she will not debate and defend her first fruits teaching? Would you ask her that question, please? Would you get a copy of this book and present it to her or to the other so-called pastors, apostles,
well,
prophets?
Well, if they do that, then they're going to see Paula White and all of her wolfish fury.
Yeah.
Because that's what she's
really going
to manifest.
Yeah, I challenge you to do it and see how she treats you.
Yeah.
I challenge you to do it.
Yeah.
Because she'll turn against you like a rattlesnake.
Exactly. In an instant, they'll be able to see her true nature.
I want to see some of you big givers over there at New Destiny. Some of you big givers over there, get a copy of this book and pass it around and see how long you last over there. Even though you're a big giver, they will shun you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because that's usually what happens if somebody, and ask her, say, and I put it in quotes, Pastor, because she doesn't want to call herself Paula. Oh, that's her name.
Right.
Pastor, how come, look at this book, Pastor, can you please explain this book? Can you please take this guy on? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid to take on Brother Coles here? Ask her. Go on.
Yeah.
Go right up to her and ask, see if you can get to her. Maybe, I don't know, the bodyguards might keep you away from the minister. You might not be able to get up close enough to ask her a question because the bodyguards might push you out of the way. But I don't know. I don't recall Jesus being like that. Jesus, you could go right up to him and talk to him. So anyway, I challenge you. You can email me, Susan@propheticnews.com, if you have any questions. Even if you want to come on here to this broadcast and defend your, in quotes, pastor, you're welcome. Bring it on. Come on. Let's hear from you over there. Don't be silent. And I just wanted to mention, you did receive an endorsement from the first book.
That's correct. The pastor over at New Destiny Christian Center in Levine, Arizona, Dr. Douglas Chuamika, he gave us a wonderful video endorsement that we're just about ready to put up, and he's telling everybody to buy the book. Dr. Chuamika was a wonderful friend to Pastor Zachary Timms. They went back many years, and he was opposed to Paula White taking over the church in Tampa. Now, he didn't endorse the book because he had, he was opposed to her in the past. He endorses the book because he read the book from cover to cover, and he says, this is gospel.
Yeah.
This is true. And so a man of that caliber just doesn't give out endorsements just like that. They have to read. They have to think. They have to see if what the author is saying is true. And here's the other thing about Dr. Cole's books. Dr. Cole's books, everything he cites, every Hebrew definition, every Greek definition, every quote is documented with a footnote on the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
Unlike Paula's book, First Things First, it doesn't have one footnote or endnote in it. So this
book...
Yes,
and nothing can be documented.
Nothing can be documented, and that's why... at the end of this book, he poses her with a new challenge. And the new challenge is to take First Things First and provide all of the footnotes to the Greek words and the Greek and the Hebrew words that she defines. And he simply wants to show that she can't do that because all of those Greek definitions and Hebrew definitions in her book are mere fabrications. She made those definitions up in order to come up with her twisted first fruits teaching. And he'll
prove it. Does that a lot.
Yes, exactly.
She'll say, oh, this word means that. And I'm like, what? Where did you get that from? Dear Lord, help us.
And Paula, who herself claims that she's a scholar, and her cronies, like Larry Huck, who also claims, and there's many others who, when they sit with her, oh, you're such a wonderful biblical scholar. Well, Paula, if you're such a wonderful biblical scholar, why is it that you can't write a book with endnotes or footnotes? You need to document your sources in order to prove your thesis. And there
are
none.
Anybody that's a scholar knows that.
Yeah. There are none.
Anybody that's
hiding.
Written a master's thesis or they know that you have to document your sources.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. The fact that she hasn't accepted the challenge, the so-called scholar to debate,
well, you should be able to. Yeah, here's the thing. Shai Lin mentioned her in his song, and it was a two-second mention. There were 11 other people mentioned along with her. But when she was mentioned, her son, Bradley Knight, went crazy. And he went on the Internet, and he sent Water Radio an open letter. Well, we told Bradley, we advised him not to go on the Internet, not to make a big to-do about the first book. We told him not to do that. But we also said to him, well, we don't want you to go on the Internet. We want you to contact us so that we can hammer out the details for the debate.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard from Bradley, and we haven't heard from his mother, and that speaks volumes.
Yeah, it does. It does. Because I think that if it was me and somebody was attacking me, then you can talk to me.
Exactly.
I get emails from people that don't like this and don't like that. I usually answer them unless it's something that you shouldn't answer, but... Yeah, I can defend my position.
Listen, the Prophetic News radio program can host a debate. Paula can be in Tampa. Dr. Coles can be where he's at. And Susan, you can host a debate on radio.
Sure.
And, they can go step by step, and he can ask her questions, and then she can cite her sources, and then he can buttress, he can counter her statement. And she doesn't have to leave Orlando. All she has to do is get on the phone for you, right, and debate on the radio. And that would make
– She can email me.
Right. That would make for great radio. You would have a couple of weeks in a row debating. So it doesn't have to get confrontational. But we want answers.
Sure.
Why isn't she the woman who said – I came out of my mama's womb fighting. Why is it that that same woman has not responded to the challenge?
Yeah.
That's the question at hand.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You should be able to defend your position. If you're teaching the Bible, you should be able to defend your position. If it's a true teaching, then you should be able to defend it. If it's a false teaching, then it should be called out for being a false teaching, and you should repent. Look, if somebody takes the time, now, this is another thing, because I'm sure Paula is biting her fingernails trying to figure out what kind of revenge she could get. But I want to tell her something. These people did not conspire together to write books about you. They weren't like sitting in a back room smoking cigarettes and drinking beers thinking, wow, what can we do to Paula White today? No. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to these people to write these books. And so nobody else did it. Nobody put them up to it. This is a message from God. to Paula White. So nobody's trying to hurt her or profane her name or anything like that. These books were inspired by the Holy Spirit for the body of Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and to help Paula White to repent and get saved.
And here's the thing, Susan. Other books are coming.
Yeah.
Other books are coming. So what is she going to do? Not respond to any of them? Is that what she's going to do? She's in trouble.
Well, they're not going away. So
no,
the
they're not
aren't
going
away.
Away. No matter how many offerings she gives to get to for the Lord to suddenly get rid of her enemies, her enemies are not going to go away. In fact, they're coming out. They're coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
They're coming out in great numbers. So
and like I said, nobody
her.
Was sitting down saying, here's a book contract for you, and we're going to pay you $50,000 to write these books about Paula White. That was not done.
Listen. We know this is a labor of love.
Right.
And it's a labor of love because the authors love the Lord Jesus. Jesus
yeah.
said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And so that's all they're doing. All they're doing is they love the Lord, and they're going to defend the Lord's people. And
yes.
by so doing, they're going to expose Paula White. And that's all this is. So it would do her a great deal of good to repent and retire. That's,
yes.
It would, and she's,
yes,
she claims she has enough money to retire. So
yeah, she claims,
repent
yeah.
and retire. Because
I
mean, it doesn't do you.
It sure fooled me.
Yeah. It doesn't do her any good just to retire. More importantly, it would do her a great deal of good to repent and retire.
Yes.
Retiring is, you know, and your soul is still damned, that's no good. Repent and retire. Get right with God and then retire.
Yes, and apologize to God's people for the error of your ways, because anybody can forgive somebody that's truly repentant. Anybody.
Of course.
And, of course, we do that all the time as Christians. We forgive people. But we can't tolerate this kind of behavior from people who call themselves ministers of the gospel and have come in to wreak havoc for the church that Jesus Christ died for. It's no small thing when people's eternal salvation is at stake. Because that ultimately, that's the most important thing, is either we believe that people are dying and going to hell with Jesus, or we don't. Either we believe
exactly.
it or we don't.
Exactly.
So that has to be the motivation for everything we do. If you want a ministry, you might have to go get another job and support it. Maybe that'll have to be the way you have to do it. But at least it'll be honest.
Correct. And, you know, sadly, after First Fruit She-Wolf came out, instead of Paula repenting and knowing that God was unleashing his wrath upon her via literature, instead of repenting, what did she do? She turned around a few weeks later, and she came up with the God's going to get rid of your enemies offering, and she started asking people for $229.
Yeah.
Instead of repenting.
Yeah.
She, what did she do? She became more stiff-necked.
Yeah.
Her heart became more hardened.
Yeah.
And she
That's
won't give
true.
Up her wicked ways.
I was amazed. I thought, wow, I could maybe see a little touch of repentance or something, but to boldly get up and proclaim first fruits and a suddenly $229 offering, a suddenly offering to get rid of your enemies, when you know there's a book out about you called First Fruits She-Wolf.
And,
then, like,
and knowing that a trilogy was soon to follow.
Yeah.
You know, there were two more books to follow. So instead of repenting and contacting Dr. Coles and saying, listen, Dr. Coles, I'm going to repent. I'm pretty sure Dr. Coles would have said, you know what? If you repent, I won't release the other two books.
Yeah.
If you make a public confession, that's it. It's, you know, but no, she didn't repent. And what does she do? She heightened her villainy.
Yeah.
So.
And bragging. Oh, don't hate me. I'm so blessed. I have enough money. I can retire right now. Well, how did you get that money? Come on.
Exactly. And Dr. Coles devotes a whole chapter on, you know, how did a woman with her kind of skills, her limited skills and her limited education, how does a woman just like with limited skills, education and time of employment, because she doesn't have a long employment record.
No.
I know people who have some money, but they've worked 50 years of their life.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so they over 50 years
how
of
they
hard
get
work.
It.
Yeah, 50 years of hard work, they've accumulated money. Here's a woman with a very short history of employment, no education, no skills. How does she end up with $5 million?
Yeah.
The only way you can do that is by fleecing the flock.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, I would be doing okay, too, if I had 1,000 people giving me 10% of their income every week. So, and I know I've had people say, well, you're supposed to fund the church if you don't collect tithes. Well, you're supposed to know that you're supposed to help out over there if you're going someplace. You're just supposed to know to do that. Nobody has
exactly.
to beat you over the head. So we don't have to manipulate people with scriptures that aren't scripture twisting and whatever to get people to do what we want them to do so we can have a ministry. Look, those
Listen,
days are over.
Yeah.
All and I'll be happy
to
see it over.
Yeah. All we have to do is love people genuinely.
Yeah,
and there'll never be a shortage. There will
no.
never be a shortage of funds if you
never.
Love people genuinely.
Never. Never.
And that's it.
Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. So, oh, well, Susan, what do I have to do to get some money? Seek first the kingdom.
That's right.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go about your business. Be honest.
Right.
Have integrity. Do what you say you're going to do. Don't lie, cheat, and steal. And try to bribe God with your selfish heart, because you'll be in the same condition you're in today. You'll be in that same condition. Ask any of those people over there at New Destiny or at Without Walls. Ask them how many of them are out of debt. After all, every week it's another fleecing thing going on over there. Ask them how blessed they really are after all these weeks and years of giving, giving, giving till they can't give anymore. Ask them how many of them have backslidden and turn their back on God because of the so-called pastor fleecing them every week. So it does a lot of damage.
Yeah, the only one out of debt is people like T.D. Jakes, who has Paula White come into the church to raise for him $1 million.
Maybe he's out of debt.
So,
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to bring Paula White in to raise money for you, I don't know. Mm-hmm. He must need some money. But we'll see. You know, the thing is, you can try to hide what you're doing from everybody else, but God knows everything that's going on. So, and we've said it before, when God is ready to judge a so-called ministry, he's going to do it. So, you know, the Bible says that everything that's done in secret would be brought out into the open. That happens. And who does that? God does that. So I don't know all your little secrets, and I'm not tapping your phone and hiring a private eye. I don't do that. I don't go through people's garbage and that kind of thing. I mean, some people do that. That's okay. If you want to do that to get information, that's okay. I don't do that. I just know what I see. I know what I hear, and I try to base it on what I hear coming out of these people's mouth, out of their own mouth. So you can't deny that because they said it. So we're not making it up. They said it. And when God's sending a message to somebody like Paula White with these books coming out, bam, 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 there's a message there from the Almighty. And if I were you, Paula, I would take a, I would sit down, and I would ask the Lord, okay, Lord, are these people my enemies? Are they trying to tell me something that I should know? Why don't you sit down and ask God about it? And I'm sure he will tell you. He will tell you himself what it's all about. So
absolutely correct. And yeah. She has no excuse, because for a person who claims to have studied the Word of God for 30 years, I'm pretty sure she read Jeremiah, and she read portions of Isaiah and portions of Ezekiel, where those prophets blast, they blast fleecers. They come against fleecers.
Yeah. Yeah, please, anybody, take out your Bible, and I'll probably do a program on it in the future. Take out the Bible and look up all the scriptures on false prophets, on divination, on witchcraft, worship.
Yeah. Look at the scripture that Paul shares with Titus, the young bishop, over there at the Church of Crete. He writes, "For there are many who refuse to obey. This is especially true among those who say that all Christians must obey Jewish laws." And again, Paul is a Judaizer. She tells you, you have to obey first fruits and Passover and Pentecost and Day of Atonement. So he says, "For there are many who refuse to obey. This is especially true of those who say that all Christians must obey Jewish laws. This is foolish talk. It blinds people to the truth, and it must be stopped. Already, whole families have been turned away from the grace of God. Such teachers are only after your money."
Yeah, that's perfect, because they've turned aside from the grace of God, and God gives us freely all things through his grace and his mercy, because he's our Father. Who bribes their father? I don't lay down $10 in front of my mother to get her to do something for me. How ridiculous can it get? How ridiculous has it become in the so-called church? It's just a freak show out there. That's enough already. Enough.
Enough
is enough.
You know,
somebody wrote two books about me, took the time to write 3 years to write two books about me, I'd be saying, hopefully I would say, you know, maybe I better read it and examine myself.
Correct. And not just that, but if those articles that were written by the Tampa Tribune, if that didn't shake you up, think about it, Susan. 49 articles were written about Paula. She confessed out of her own mouth that there were 49 articles written about her. Didn't one of those articles bring her to her knees? 49 articles written by unsaved people.
Yeah.
God was even using unsaved people to expose her before he was using saved people to expose her.
That's true.
And
that's
she
true.
Still, the 49 articles later, and she hasn't dropped to her knees? And then you tell me she's born again? I don't think so.
No.
Jesus said
no way.
Twice in Matthew 7:16 and in Matthew 7:20, "By their fruit you shall know them."
That's right. You'll know them by their fruit. So if there's people that call themselves ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ out there, and they don't display any real love or any real compassion for a God's blood-bought church, well, then you need to run for your life from these people. Quit supporting them. Quit wasting your time driving over to these places on Sunday. And don't waste your time. You're better off watching I Love Lucy than going over there and filling your head with that foolishness.
Just watch an episode
your children.
Just watch an episode of the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't even waste your time, because you're going over there filling your head with that nonsense, and you're exposing your little children to this too. So you have to think about what you're doing. It's time for people to come out of them, my people.
Yeah.
Be ye separate, saith the Lord. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's time. So don't be afraid. Okay, you might not have your friends, might not call you anymore, but they're not your friends anyway. Don't worry about it. Just leave. Pick up your stuff. Get that pocketbook and run out the door. And make sure it's closed when you do it. So it's time to put the money changers out of business. It's time for the Reformation to begin again and for the real gospel to be preached and believed, most of all,
correct,
to believe the real gospel. So anyway,
correct,
I want to thank you so much. Give the
yes
information again before we close.
Yes. People can get the book, First Fruits Fleece, or they can either go to Prosperity Truth Exposed, www.prosperitytruthexposed, or they can go to www.impub.net. And both of those addresses will lead them right to the website where they can
yeah
order the book directly.
Yeah. Okay. So please don't forget to do that, people, because you will love the book. You will love it. And then please pass it on or buy a copy for one of your friends that is hung up in this prosperity foolishness and been bewitched by the false teachings of Paula White. So thank you, Brother Moses, for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for supporting I Am Publishing and for helping us put this trilogy on the global map. I mean, it's out there in great part, Sister Susan, in great part to all of your labor in helping us get the word out. If people Google First Fruits Sewell, and if they Google First Fruits Fleecer, they will see that much of it is out there because of Susan Puzio and her wonderful ministry. And we just thank you for all that you've done to help the body of Christ come out of this bondage that they're
amen
in.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Don't forget to go to prosperitytruthexposed.com and order a copy. It's a way to support this ministry and help get this publishing company off the ground. They need your support, and one of the ways you can support is to purchase a book. And remember that someone, Dr. Elisha Cole, spent many years, many long hours of his time, and it was a labor of love for him to put this material together to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So these are the type of ministries we need to support with our prayers, number one, and with our finances. I look forward to many, many more wonderful books coming from I Am Publishing Company. So remember to pray for them and to pray for the authors as they launch these very timely books, because we're at a very crucial time in church history right now. We're really at a crossroads. Many, many people are deceived, and we want to help people to come out of the deception to be able to take a stand for the things that are coming. Truly, Jesus said that in the end times, men would wax worse and worse, and we're seeing that. We're seeing so many things happening, the change in the weather and the wars and the riots and the water shortages, and it's just one thing after another. So how are we going to be able to stand if we're not rooted and grounded in God's word? And that if we truly do not have love for one another, if we just only do things because we want to get something back, I mean, who does that? Not a real Christian. The Bible says that we're supposed to love our neighbor more than we love ourselves. And so how many people do you see doing that today? Not too many. Most people, they only want to do something if they can get something back, because that's the way they've been taught. But parents know better than to raise their children like that. You know what kind of a child you're going to get if your child's been raised to be selfish. Well, that's what these greedy pastors have been doing. They've been raising up God's people to be selfish, and that has to stop. It's awful. It's just awful. So if you've been involved in this kind of false teaching, it's time to repent. But most of all, If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, get out a Bible. Everybody's got a Bible in their house. I think they do anyway. If you don't, go get yourself one and read this third chapter of John. Jesus said, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus said, well, what do you mean, Jesus? I was born of my mother. Jesus said, you must be born of your mother, but then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. You're born first of your mother, but then you must be born again. Nobody made up that term. Jesus said it. He said it. And if he said it, and he is God, he knows what he's talking about. He said, ye must be born again. And the only way you can be born again is to accept Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Don't say, well, I'm a good person. No, you're not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We're only made righteous because of Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And he made a way of escape from eternal punishment. Hell is a real place. It is a real place, and people do go there. They don't go there because God sends them there. They go there because of their own rebellion. Everybody on this planet has a way to hear the gospel nowadays. There's no excuse. There might be some remote tribes somewhere out there, but there's even people trying to get to them with the gospel. So you're being presented today with the real gospel, and you don't have an excuse because you're hearing the truth. And the truth is, you need to repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and give you a new life. He did it for me. I know it's real because I had an old life and then I had a new life. And my new life was a lot better, oh, a lot better than my old life. I wouldn't trade it for the world, nothing, because I have peace. I have joy. I have a promise of eternal life that I know when I die that I am going to heaven. It's not over. I know I will see my loved ones that have accepted Jesus. I will see them again. I have a blessed hope. So get out your Bible. Read it. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You have to say it. And you'll see. You'll be born again. And you'll have a brand new life. God bless you all today for tuning in. I want to thank my guest, Brother Moses, from IM Publishing, and all the people in the chat room and everybody that listened today. God bless you. Don't forget, next week we have David Lee on Sunday Morning Stick Up, and he's going to talk about, now, is tithing really for today? We're going to talk, is tithing worship? We're going to talk about that. So don't forget next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven. And and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.